Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver, and I am delighted to talk with you. And I have a few thoughts I want to share with you about something that may be useful, hopefully, working with strong emotions. Perhaps you've heard of them. And then I'd like to guide us in a 10-minute seated meditation, which you can do today, tomorrow, every day, no day. You can use it as you wish. But the meditation practice is very important in context of what I would like to share with you, which is, how do you work with strong emotions? Because there's a lot going on right now. There's a lot to be scared about. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of uncertainty. And that's all real. So let's not try to find some nice Buddhist way of saying that's no problem, because it's really a problem. We're at a very amped up point, it seems. At least that's how it feels today. Maybe tomorrow it will feel different. When it comes to the ways we relate to each other, the ways we relate to our world, the actual earth, and the way we relate to our own hearts. And all of that is really effing important. The way we relate to those things actually has the ability to build the future. And we're at a tipping point in terms of what kind of future we want to make for ourselves. And you can help. And I can help. And everyone needs to help. Okay, blah, blah, blah. Let me get to the point. When it comes to very strong emotions, fear, rage, vast grief, frustration, what do you do? As a spiritual seeker, perhaps, or a meditator, or shouldn't my meditation practice help me feel less of those things and be more zen or more able to find balance when I feel like things are going out of control? Well, not any Buddhism I ever heard of. So here's what I have learned, however, from my 30 years of Buddhist practice and study about what does help. First, it's helpful to note that there are sort of three classical ways to look at strong emotions. I mean, bad, difficult emotions, fear and rage, and, you know, I don't have to name them. You know what they are. And the first view, and they're all three correct, by the way, the first view says, uh-oh, problem. Could you pacify that? Could you calm down? Because acting from within these really difficult feelings, hijinks ensue. You can create all sorts of chaos. When you act from your anger, when you act from your fear, when you act from your frustration, that, yeah, for sure, that's a fact. So first, could you please pacify? Negative, so-called negative emotions are afflictive. So let's try to set them aside. Okay. That's really good advice. If you can do it. If you can't do it, it's really bad advice, because then you just get in a big fight with yourself. So, however, there are occasions where you can say, you know what? I'm going to do something else. I'm going to turn off the news. I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to pacify my inner state, because it's making me crazy right now. Good. Very good. That's just one of three. The second view says, okay, maybe they're afflictive, these so-called negative emotions, but they are also gateways of compassion. Because when I meet someone in the future who is enraged about what enrages me and is struggling to find a way to deal with that, I will have so much compassion for them, because I know exactly what they're going through, my own version, at least, of what they're going through. So if I turn away from my feelings, if I try to discard them or pretend that they're not real, I'm also closing this door of compassion to people of the future who may need my love and my support. But when I can rest in my own difficulty, as it were, get to know it, relax with what is very unrelaxing, anger and so forth, then I stand the chance of being supportive and of benefit to someone I might meet in the future who is struggling with what I struggle with. So there's a heart opening piece to the way we hold our strong emotions. And when we can let them go and pacify, great. When we can't, we still have this possibility of working with those emotions to understand ourselves and others better. And that's big, y'all. That's big. That's called being a bodhisattva, being an awakened being whose focus is not just on helping themselves, but on using what they encounter, good, bad, and ugly, to be of benefit to others. And you know what the world needs a lot more of? Those. You can do that. Okay, now we come to the third view. First view, afflictive, pacify. Second view, feels bad. Could be a good gate of compassion for others who feel similarly bad. Third view, maybe they're afflictive, maybe they're gates of compassion, but strong emotions themselves are masked forms of wisdom. Can I stay long enough with what is tormenting me, even, to find what is wakeful within that feeling? You can. So, for example, when you're angry, a lot to be angry about right now, y'all. Anger is very difficult. I don't have to explain that. Everybody knows it. It's painful. It's awful. It causes damage. It's a very, very dangerous emotion, but it's human and real and often, or at least sometimes, warranted. There are things to be really angry about. So the trick here in finding the wisdom in your strong emotion, be it anger or something else, is the following. And this will segue beautifully into our meditation practice, because in meditation, we practice what I'm fixing to tell you right now. The key to finding the wisdom, the wakefulness in your difficult emotions, I wish I had a drum, I'd do a drum roll, is let go of the story and feel the feeling. So you're angry because there's vast injustice. You are right. You are right. So when you feel your anger, we often confuse feeling the anger or the feeling with telling ourselves the story of the feeling over and over again. It's because of this. It's because of that. If this hadn't happened, if that happened, next time I'll do this. And we have to do that. And we shouldn't do this. And okay, those could be very intelligent thoughts, but those are not the same things as feelings. The feeling is something that you may encounter in your body. Often people say the feelings are in the body. Okay, I'll go with that. I don't experience it that way. But that's cool. Can you find it? Is there heat? Is there tension in your stomach? Are your shoulders going like this? Is your forehead going like that? Find that. That's the feeling that you want to work with. The story comes in, well, because of this or that, and if only, and okay, those are thoughts. So we let those go and come back to resting, which is not restful in this case, with the feeling. So some other people, myself included, maybe, I don't know why, but I have my theories. I feel it in the environment, not in my body. When I feel anger or sadness, I feel that the actual environment changes. The light looks different. The feeling tone of the room is altered. And so, okay, that's for me. I'm like, okay, let me go to that. Let me notice this atmospheric change that I'm going to call anger. And then when my thoughts come in, well, this, that, and because of, and so forth, can I let that go? And come back to the anger, because the wisdom of anger is that it is awake. You cannot be sleepy and angry. Anger has fire and ferocity and intensity and focus. When you're angry, you can't just be like, well, I'll do something else, because your mind is just goes right back to it. So that wakefulness and intensity and concentration, those are very valuable qualities. Now, when we put them in service of the story, they may become diluted. But when we can find awake, focused, and fierce, we got something to work with when we go to battle with what we think is wrong. When we bypass that and just go, this has to change because I'm friggin' uncomfortable and I don't want to feel this. Don't take my word for this. But what I have noticed happens when I do this and when I see it in others is I add to the aggression that is bothering me in the first place. So these are things to think about. These are not things to believe. These are things to go, oh, maybe Buddhist lady, I don't know. Let me think about it, which I would really appreciate. You can think about that. Don't take my word for it. So now we're going to do a 10-minute meditation. And this is the key to all three ways of working with strong emotions. They're afflictive. Can I pacify them? Okay, well, let me just relax with what is. Let me, as you know or will know if this is your first time meditating, we sit with ourselves as we are, not as we wish we were or as we'd like to pretend to be, but as we are, and maybe as we are right now is angry. Okay, so breathe with that. Let that be so. That is what begins pacification. Turning towards, not turning away. So in meditation, we don't turn towards to fix. We turn towards because what the hell else are you going to do? That's what's happening. So let's not pretend. Second, bridge of compassion. I'm angry. Let me feel what it feels like in me, in my body, in my world. To what is the nature of this pain? What is the tone? I don't mean the psychological description. I mean, what is it like? Can you become more familiar and yet more familiar with the quality of this pain? Not to rub your face in it or to torture yourself, but so that when you meet someone else, you can feel it in them too. And you can meet them in what hurts them. People value that. So when we feel that pain and when we're practicing, again, we just allow it. We just allow it. We get to know it. The word for meditation in Tibetan is gom, which means familiarization. So as we sit here, we just become more and more familiar with our inner states, which gives us insight into ourselves, certainly, but also the inner states of others. And finally, the third way, where is the wisdom here? Can I let the story go to just connect with the feeling tone, which is awake? Well, yes, we do that on this cushion in meditation when we let our attention rest on the breath, which is the object of our meditation. And then when it strays into thoughts, this is boring, when is it over? I'm not a Buddha yet, what the hell? Call that thinking and let it go. Let it go. Let it go and come back to this breath. Now, when we practice doing this with our breath on the meditation cushion, the likelihood that we will be able to practice this in our lives when we're angry or overjoyed or bored is vastly increased. We're doing this with our breath, not so that we can go out into our lives and be great breath followers, but so that we can transfer our ability to focus from the breath to our lives. And that is of extreme value. Don't take my word for that. Let's sit. Begin your practice by establishing your posture, which basically means to sit up straight. If you have back or neck or other issues, just you're straight, your version of straight, that's fine. The legs are crossed loosely in front of you. I promise, mine are. My feet are right here. Or you can sit with your feet flat on the floor if you're on a chair. Both are good. The hands rest, palms down, just above the knee or at mid-thigh. And this is actually a mudra, a gesture called resting the mind mudra. So we're just resting our hands as we wish to rest our minds and our beings all together. Just no work. Let your belly relax. Let your shoulders relax. Nothing to carry. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted, and you can enjoy not having to say anything. The breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold or allergies or something. Just breathe in whatever way feels good to you, but otherwise, in and out through the nose. The eyes are open in this practice, and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front, 4 to 6 feet or so. And the reason the eyes are open is because we're practicing being awake. And it is much easier to be awake and compassionate when our eyes are open, because when our eyes are closed, you can't really see too much. In any case, you're just sitting there with your eyes open. A soft gaze. And let the forehead soften. Let your attention come to rest on your breath, which means feel the body breathing. Feel the inhale and the exhale. Just let your attention rest on this wave of breath, breathing in, dissolving out. At the end of the exhale is a little gap. And then the next inhale just happens. You don't have to effort at all. So go with that. Breathing in, flowing out. Breathing in, flowing out. Your mind will continue to make thoughts. That's what it does. No big deal. Doesn't matter if you have a lot of thoughts or a few thoughts. There's no effort to stop thinking. Just let your thoughts come and go, because you know what? That's what they do. They come and go. There is no permanent thought. So just let them be like clouds in the sky that just float by, while your primary attention is on the breath. If you notice that you have become so absorbed in thoughts, and like completely absorbed, you forgot about your breath. So not every little thought, just, forgot. I'm spaced out. Cool. Say to yourself silently, thinking. It's thinking. Then just let go. Just let go, like you're dropping a little pebble back into a stream. And gently come back to this breath and begin again. Feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together in silence for a few more minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together.